Talking Automotive for VACC. You're in good hands.
And VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim talks automotive each Monday night at this time. Jeff, good evening.
Dennis, good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. You wanted to talk about airbags.
Well, the issue here, Dennis, is that, as we know, this recall's been on for a couple of years. It actually ends, the legislation that they wrapped around this ends in December this year, by which time the manufacturers should have recovered all of the available airbags in Australia and swapped them over into you know, obviously to newer airbags. The issue is we've got 90,000 airbags in Australia that haven't been offered up for changeover at a vehicle dealership. And that's a big number. There's about 25,000 in Victoria. So there's 25,000 cars in Victoria running around that have potentially got a dangerous airbag. Some of them are critical, depending what type it is and what year it went into that vehicle. And Dennis, I'd have to say, and I'm happy to be tested on this, if we've got 25,000 cars in Victoria that needed a Carter airbag changed over, now that doesn't include cars that have been stolen or cars that haven't been registered for 2 years, so they're not even in there. This is clean data. I'd have to say that 20,000 of those cars would have had multiple reminders to get those airbags fixed, and the drivers of those vehicles or the owners of those vehicles have chosen not to get them fixed.
So what's the process? Let's just say, you know, I've got a letter saying, you know, you've got a vehicle, which I have checked with my own car, but and I know that I didn't need to do it. It took me about 10 minutes, I think. But what's the process? You get this letter. Does it threaten you? Does it say, hang on, you've got to do this by a certain date?
Well, I think that they didn't originally. The early letters that went out over a year ago were being very polite, saying, look, by the way, there's a global recall of airbags, and we'd really appreciate it if you give us a ring and pop it down to your dealership and we'll swap it over for you. Those letters now are more likely to be saying, by the way, it's quite likely your car won't be re-registered because the state registering bodies, state and territory registering bodies currently, and some have already initiated this, won't re-register a vehicle, your annual roadworthy. They won't re-roadworthy your vehicle or give you annual registration if that is a faulty vehicle and the Carter airbag. And there could be multiple airbags in any one vehicle, but if those airbags haven't been switched over, you're going to find that you won't be able to register that vehicle for the year ahead. That's what's going to happen, because the states are, to be honest with you, tired of keep telling people through the registration bodies, and the manufacturers have had multiple letters sent out to vehicle owners that have people driving around finding these things in paddocks and up in the Northern Territory. And I think the manufacturers have done a great job at trying to locate every single vehicle. But some people have just been very stubborn about it. And I think, personally, they run some huge risks and huge liabilities if somebody else has an accident in their vehicle.
Also, would you, in the strictest sense of the word, be driving an unroadworthy vehicle?
Well, if it's got a recall and you've ignored that recall, I certainly think that the insurer would have some doubt if you had an accident in that vehicle and it had three or four recall notices stuffed in the glove box. I think you'd be in for a pretty tough discussion with the insurer. Worse than that, though, Dennis, is that if somebody jumps into that car, remember, 30 people globally have died from these airbags going off. 300 people have been injured. We've had a death in Australia and a couple of serious injuries. If somebody jumps into that car, it could be a family member, it could be one of your kids. Dad, I just want to borrow the car, drop down to the shops. I know it's a horrible thing to say, and we wouldn't wish it upon anybody, but you're potentially putting your family members into that car at risk, and you know there's a risk. And what we don't want to do is to see something horrific happen, and you know, there's recall notices stuffed behind the seats and tumbling out of the glove box. So I think there are major issues here. Let's say out of that 25,000 in Victoria, that there's 5,000 that are questionable. They're at the back of the paddock. You know, who knows what's happened to them? But if they haven't been, that figure, by the way, that it's actually 26,200 in Victoria. If it hasn't been registered for 2 years, it's not even on that list. These are vehicles that are being potentially driven every day.
96900693, if you have any comments about airbags, have you been in this situation where you've got a couple of letters and then gone and done something about it? And how long does it take to get them replaced? 96900693 or 131332. We'll take an early break. Jeff Gwilym taking your calls after these.
Tom Elliott.
George, good afternoon.
Hey, Tom. I was just going to tell you about my Dusty Martin jumper.
Well, you've got one too.
Yeah, for $245. Match worn, signed by Dusty, with the AFL Players Association certificate.
So you must be feeling pretty good if... I mean, admittedly, this one's a grand final jumper and a Norm Smith jumper. That one's $75,000. How much was yours?
$245.
It's not bad. What do you reckon it's worth now?
$246.
Drive. 3 till 6 weekdays on 3AW 693.
Online, Jeff Gwilym, VACC CEO. We're talking automotive, mostly about airbags tonight. John, good evening to you.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, thank you for this. I've got a beautiful Audi 99 model TT, and I've cherished it and looked after it really well, and I've got a lot of money tied up in it. The trouble is, Audi Australia only want to offer me about $3,000, and they're not going to replace the airbag components. They just want to buy it and get rid of it, trash it. The wheels alone are worth $4,000. I don't wish to get rid of my car like that. About 100 guys from associated clubs that are in this jam, this problem.
That's a different perspective altogether, Jeff.
Yeah, look, I have heard of this before where effectively the car's being... They're describing a written-down vehicle of that car. And obviously, to John, they're actually lovely cars, the TTs. They've got the great shape on them. I would try and take it to another dealership. I mean, if you've been to one of the dealerships and they've said, look, the value of us changing it over is worth... it costs us more to change it over than the insurance value of the vehicle. I wouldn't sort of put up with that. I would take it to another dealership and get that swapped over. I think they can offer you a sale a price of that vehicle, but they can't make you do that.
That seems sort of against the spirit of getting of trying to track down each of these vehicles and getting them right.
Yeah, that's right, Dennis. I have heard of this before, and it could be some confusion in the conversation around we can make a cash payment for this vehicle because it's going to be expensive to change it over. But there is no requirement by the consumer to offer their car up for sale just because the airbag needs to be swapped over. As long as they can access those airbags, they can get those airbags, and the airbag should be swapped.
Yeah, that just I wasn't expecting a call like that, and you've got a feel for people who are in that situation because you do the right thing, and then you suddenly told, no, we're not going to do it. That's not right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Dennis, we would hate that to be a reason why people aren't taking their vehicles in. I mean, you know, people listening here tonight that think, oh, well, I'm not going to take my car in because I'm told to sell the vehicle. Don't do that. Take that car in because there are options there, and I think that, you know, whether or not the dealer wants to make an offer for that vehicle because there's a cost of changing the airbag, that's up to them. But my understanding is there's certainly no compulsion on the customer to sell their car because they need an airbag switched over. The only caveat I'd put on that is if that airbag is actually available for that model of vehicle. I'd be surprised it isn't, but that would be the only reason that they wouldn't be able to swap that over because they're actually not available globally.
We'd love to hear from other listeners. Have you tried to get them changed over? I mean, 26,000 plus vehicles just in Victoria still to get it done. Maybe you've been in a similar situation to John. Just on a side issue, Jeff, but it is to do with automotive. Have you seen the new Mercedes ad where they walk through the sort of the history of the vehicles and as part of an ad for an electric Mercedes?
I haven't seen the advert, but I have seen the car. I mean, so Mercedes has got a beautiful history, and that new, I'm going to get it wrong, it's the EO or something like that.
That's it, yeah.
That's a beautiful, and as a matter of fact, the price of that vehicle, I reckon 2 years ago, that would have cost you $20,000 more, that vehicle. That's a very nice electric vehicle. They're 110, but don't quote me on that.
Anyone who loves sort of motoring history, the actual ad, it's very clever. It just takes you through the different eras of Mercedes from way, way back through to Gullwing and all those sort of things. And the culmination is, this is the new one, this is moving with the times. It's a stunning commercial.
Just on that, Dennis, and we didn't touch on it fully last week, it's interesting because during the COVID lockdown period, as you know, vehicle sales in Victoria, well, in Victoria they halved September, by the way, 57% down, and nationally down 20% across all states and territories. And yet the electric vehicle was still on track to sell as many electric vehicles, around 7,000 electric vehicles in Australia this year as last year. And in real terms, the electric vehicle was looking more sustainable through COVID to the poor old petrol and diesel engines. It's a remarkable thing, and I'm not quite sure why that happened.
I've driven a few electric vehicles as press cars for the motoring segment, just so that I'm across some of the things that are happening in the, you know, to, you know, the current trends and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. That once you've driven one, I think driving one is a huge part of converting people.
It is, Dennis, and I think there's some new. I mean, the government's thinking about the circular economy and about how we recycle things and how we move into this whole electric vehicle environment. And, you know, there's a lot of calls for subsidies and all that sort of stuff. And the VACC's position is that the cars should hold their value in the market. They should be bought on, you know, good value. But I think we will start to see more of a trend towards electric vehicles. As you know, around the world, 2030, 2035, 2040, electric and diesel engines, there'll be a lot less of them, and some countries won't even import them or manufacture them. So, you know, the signs are there. The three new Tesla models that are upgrades to the existing models, they're all about $7,000 cheaper than the previous models. But, you know, the Bell petrol car comes through every year. It does more kilometres per litre than it did the year before every year, and they come down in price as well. So it's an interesting time in the automotive industry where you've got lean petrol and diesel vehicles being made, and they're competing against these electrics that are slowly emerging and will become more and more price competitive.
I've got a text here. My car was checked previously and the airbag was okay. Now I'm being called regarding a passenger airbag. It doesn't have one, but they're still wanting to check the car. Why would that be?
There are some new recalls out, Dennis. It's really interesting. You know, these Takata airbags were made in four different places around the world. The early ones and the Nardis were particularly problematic. But right from the beginning of the Takata airbag issue, there's been new vehicles added to that list of airbags over a period of time. And, you know, even now there are more vehicles being added to the list. So it doesn't surprise me that somebody that's been told at some stage, by the way, there isn't a problem with your airbag, now being told there is. That doesn't surprise me. But I'm interested that the person says there isn't one. It could be, often they're very hard to even see that you've got an airbag in a car.
We might need to do a bit more of this next week. Jeff Gwilym, thank you.